Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there. My name's Hope, and I'm so excited to be one of the first ones to welcome you to Northwoods this morning. Now, if you are new, I just want to say that I'm so glad that you chose to tune in and join us this morning. And I would love for you to pull out your phone right now and text NEW to the number on your screen. That'll put you in a text message conversation with me, and I will reach out to you this week to answer any questions you might have. You know, I would really love to help you get more connected here at Northwoods. Now, as always, we ask you to fill out the connection card. That is, again, another way that I can connect with you throughout the week. So you can do that in the Northwoods mobile app. And while you're in the app, you can also check out the sermon notes, past messages, and a ton of other really great resources just for you. So today we're celebrating Father's Day, but looking ahead to next week, we are starting a brand new message series called Seven, and we're going to look at the seven redemptive names of God. It's going to be a really awesome series, and I hope that you will join us again next Sunday and bring someone with you to tune in for that series. So again, like I said, we're ready to kick off Father's Day. You can't really start without a few good dad jokes.
On. Okay. All right. My wife, she asked me to pass her the lip balm. I passed her the super glue by accident. She's still not talking to me.
So, what do you call a line of rabbits hopping away? A receding hairline.
So, what do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. Did you know that the first French fries were not actually cooked in France? They were cooked in Greece.
So currently, if you go to Jamaica, you can get a piece of peach pie for $1.75 a slice. If you go to the Cayman Islands, you can get a piece of blueberry pie. They're around $1.80 a slice. And if you go to Panama, you can get a strawberry pie for about $3 a slice. And those are the pie rates of the Caribbean.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm blanking here. Okay. So I'm making a new TV show about how to fly an airplane. Right now I'm filming the pilot.
When does a joke become a dad joke? When it's apparent. Happy Father's Day.
Why don't you stand up? We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to declare this truth today.
mic on. There we go. Happy Father's Day. Let's give it up for all the dads in the house. Hey, on this Father's Day, we are going to bless some children. You remember in the Bible, you guys can go ahead and grab a seat. When the children were brought to the disciples, they said, keep them away. And Jesus said, no, let the little children come to me. And he blessed them. And so we're going to do the same thing this morning. We're going to bless some children. And so we're going to start over here. And this is Lucy over here. I got to meet her before the service. How you doing, Lucy? Good? Still good? We still good? Okay. Well, this week, I always like to spend time praying about each of these children and asking the Lord for a specific scripture. And as I was praying for Lucy, I just felt like he laid Matthew 5:16 in my heart. It says, one who shines the light. You know, that scripture, there you go, says, can I hold you, Lucy? Is that okay? Will you come to me? A little bit unsure. Here, I'll stay right here by mom and dad. Okay, is that good? But in Matthew 5:16, I remember Jesus saying, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Lucy, just been praying for you this week, and we pray right now that you would always be one who shines your light, the light that's inside of you through Jesus, that shines the light for others to see. And as others see that light, that they would glorify the Father in heaven. And so we pray blessing over you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There you go, Lucy. We got some matching sisters up here. This first one, that's Anna right there, right? Okay, Anna. Man, I was thinking about you, Anna, in the Bible. Anna was a prophetess who stayed in the temple, says she never left the temple, and she worshiped and she prayed. And so I've been praying that for you as well, Anna. Can I hold you, Anna? Is that okay? Okay, all right, there we go. 2 for 2 so far. I'm doing good. There we go. So Anna, we just pray for you. I pray that you would be one that, just like Anna in the Bible, that you would be one who has a heart for the Lord, who worships, who prays, and your heart is always to be close with the Lord. And so we pray blessing over you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There you go. And then we got Abigail right here, okay? And Abigail, that's another biblical name. You know, I thought this was interesting. Abigail had a pretty foolish husband in the Bible, but she is, as far as I can tell, is the only woman in the Bible who is described as being both intelligent and beautiful. And so I was praying that for her, that she would be, here you go, you can grab that, that she would be one, Abigail, that you'd be one who not only just has that wisdom that comes from the Lord, but, and you are beautiful, but we're praying that you would have that inner beauty that is unfading. So Lord, I just pray you would bless Abigail. We pray that you would just fill her with your wisdom as she grows, and that she would just have that unfading inner beauty inside of her. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There you go, Abigail. All right, and then we got some brothers here. Theo, this is Theo right here. Okay. Theo, as I was thinking about you, and I kept thinking about the word theology for whatever, as I was praying, is very similar to the word study of God. And so I kept thinking about 2 Timothy 2:15, which talks about a worker approved and not ashamed. And so can I hold you, Theo? Is that all right, buddy? Would you come to me? There we go. Look at that. 4 for 4 now. There we go. I'll stay close to mom and dad. But Theo, we just pray for you. And I pray that you would be one who always just has a heart for the Lord, who wants to know more about the Lord, who has a heart to study God's word and rightly divide the word of truth. And I pray that you would be a worker who's approved and not ashamed to stand for the truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There you go, Theo. There we go. And then we got Liam. And Liam, I kept thinking about you as I was praying, and I was thinking about in 1 John, it talks about, he wrote and said that you are the ones who know the truth. And I was sitting with Liam, and mom didn't know if he'd come to me this morning. So I'll leave him right here. He's kind of checking me out. So Liam, I just want to pray for you. I pray that you would be one who always stands for the truth, who knows the truth of God's word and is not afraid to stand in a culture that's going a different direction. And so we just pray blessing over you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There you go.
And now we got Sutton looking beautiful this morning. As I was praying for Sutton this week, I love the hair. I was thinking about Proverbs 31:30, which talks about a woman who fears the Lord. And so I want to pray that for you this morning. There we go. We're good. Doing good? Here, well, Mom's right over here. Okay, you can look right over here. And so, Lord, we just pray blessing over Sutton. And I pray that just as Proverbs talks about, that she would be a woman who fears the Lord, who trusts you, and who always leans into you with all of her heart. And so we pray blessing over Sutton today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There you go. Yeah. And then Haven. Hi, Haven. As I was praying for you this week, it's similar, but in Psalm 91:2, it says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Oh, you're ready to come. All right. Okay. Here we go. I'll get you. Here you go. Still feel the same now that I'm holding you? No? Okay. All right. Let me pray for you. All right. So Haven, I just pray right now that just like Psalm 91 says, that you would be one who would say that the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, and that he is one whom I trust. I pray you would always just have that that trust about you, that you just trust the Lord at what he says and you trust in him with your whole heart. And so we pray blessing over you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so now, church, I want to ask you to stand. I loved how we did this last time. There's a song written called The Blessing that really just sings the priestly blessing in the Bible. And so we're going to sing that together over these families. And so I want to ask you just to extend a hand toward these families as we're singing for them. And Trey and Amy are going to lead us as we sing to them. So go ahead and lead us, guys.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon, be gracious to you.
I always turn my mic off because I don't want you to hear me singing. Forgot to turn it back on. All right. Thanks for singing with us. We're going to continue to worship. You guys go ahead and lead us.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken.
Come on, you know it, my fear?
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your light. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your light. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your light. Alright.
start on our knees. Spirit of God, pour out on us. Whatever it looks like, wherever you lead. Spirit of God, pour out on us. Spirit of God, pour out on us.
And where the Spirit?
We start on our knees. Come on, we sing. Spirit of God, pour out on us whatever it looks like. Spirit of God, pour out on us. Spirit of God, pour out on us.
Let's just keep that posture of prayer. Father, that is my prayer for all of us this morning, that we would cry out to you and say, yes, God, we want your Spirit. We want your Spirit to pour out on us. There has never been a time that the church did not need your guidance and direction. And you so graciously give that to us through your Spirit that is available to all through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit that brings freedom. It is the Spirit that brings forgiveness. It is the Spirit that brings healing. God, we thank you that your Spirit, it removes fear. It awakens lost souls. And Father, it is the Spirit that brings revival. And so we say, amen. We want that Spirit. Father, may what we do honor you and bless you. And we are excited that you give us an opportunity to be an authentic witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. So Spirit, come. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome. My name is Bruce. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods. And on behalf of the entire staff, we just want to welcome you with us this morning. Whether you're here for the first time or you've been attending for years, whether you're here with us live or you are watching online, we welcome you and we're so excited to spend this morning with you. So I just want to say that if you're with us for the very first time, a special welcome, and we want to invite you to visit the New Here kiosk out in the lobby where you can connect with a pastor. Also, you can text the word new to the number on your screen, and a pastor will contact you, and I promise we will not flood your inbox. We will not send you a bunch of voicemails, but we do want to be intentional about making sure that you feel welcome, and we're glad you're here, and we want to connect with you. Well, as I go through the different announcements this morning, one way that you can go back and make sure that you don't miss any information or get even more information is by filling out the connection card through the Northwoods app. And if you have not downloaded the app, just want to encourage you to do that. And through the connection card, you can make sure that you keep up to date and get even more information if you don't remember everything I said here today. But that is a great tool to help you stay current. Well, we also want to remind you to come back next week. We're going to be starting a brand new series called Seven, in which we're going to do a deeper dive into understanding the seven redemptive names of God and what those mean for us in our life today. So I want to make sure to welcome you back here next Sunday. Now, through the connection card, you have an opportunity to share any prayer needs that you have. And I can guarantee that we have an online prayer team that prays for every single need that comes through. But we also have an amazing prayer team. And one of the things that you can take advantage of are prayer appointments. And so we have many people that are praying just for the healing power of God for both physical and emotional needs. And so we have, after every service, you can come down here and our altar prayer team will be happy to meet with you and pray. But you can also schedule a prayer appointment to get some deeper prayer care. And then I just want to say thank you so much for your generous giving and support that you do through your tithes and offerings. There is not a ministry at Northwoods, including our prayer ministry, that does not benefit because of your faithfulness. So thank you so much for that. And there are a number of different ways that you can give. You can give through the connection card, our app. You can give through our website. There are a number of drop boxes in the auditorium and outside in our lobby. You can still mail it in. I think people still mail things today. You can, again, go online. So if you go to northwoods.church/give, that's the link to show you all of the different options. But again, thank you for that. Well, it's Father's Day. All right, so all the dads, the grandfathers, those who serve as a father figure to someone, let's give another shout for them right now. Happy Father's Day. Yeah. All right. Well, You know, Father's Day, I think of grilling. Even on Father's Day, a lot of dads don't get the day off because they're expecting to grill. I was grilling just a couple weeks ago. I had kind of a freak accident. I actually got ketchup in my eyes. Yeah. But the upside is that ever since then, I've had great hindsight. Yeah. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Don't forget to chip your server. Another thing, dads, I don't know about you. Probably for me, it's going to be very easy to overindulge around the dinner table today, maybe overeat. But I'm excited because starting tomorrow, I'm going to start wearing slices of bread on my head. Yeah, it's a new loaf hat diet I'm starting. Yeah. Really? Okay. All right. Well, hey, there's more. There's more. So I love learning new facts. I like to learn kind of unusual topics. And I read an article. Get this. They have just discovered the leading cause for dry skin. Towels. Yeah. All right, that's it. Although if you're thirsty for more, come back at 11. I'll be here, I promise. But it is Father's Day, and being a dad is not an easy job, right? Dads, you know, I have two adult children. It's not all grilling and using the remote control. Dads have to remember lots of information. Well, at least some of them do.
What is your son's birthday?
No, that's a good one. That's a really good one, because I don't know.
What is your daughter's favorite subject in school?
Social study.
Is that true?
No.
What color are your daughter's eyes?
Brown.
All right, let's look. That is incorrect. What are your daughter's birthdays?
Why do you do this to me?
What about her?
I give up.
Any guesses?
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yesterday! Horrible.
Her birthday was yesterday,
just
and you forgot
yesterday.
It.
Yes.
Can you name the best friend of each of your daughters?
Mari Carmen Rojas, Jimena Lopez, Adamari Lopez, Cristina Cornejo.
Good. Can you give us the name of their doctor?
Fadi Torres.
Good. Can you give us the name of their dentist?
Games Dentalan.
What are your daughter's birthdays?
Yes, May 28, 2009, August 8, 2013.
Oh, give it up for the dads, man. Hey, listen, I feel for those dads. Sometimes when you're put on the spot, it's just hard to bring it up in the moment, in the spot. So, man, but I love dad jokes too. Anybody like a good dad joke? I mean, they're kind of lame, but yeah, they're funny. Good job, Bruce. Again, happy Father's Day to the dads, whether you're in the room, on the campus, or watching online. Again, we celebrate you today. And for those of you online, I want to real quick just give you a heads up about next week. Those of you who watch online, next week we're going to have a guest speaker here with us. He's actually the regional director for Surge in the Eastern Hemisphere of the world. And he's in a place where the government, it's just a place where it's very hostile towards Christianity. And so we're blessed to have him here with us next week, Brother Timothy. But we will actually not be able to show the video broadcast of that online because we need to make sure that we protect his identity. And so we will still show worship online next week. You'll still be able to worship, but we're going to have to work through what it'll look like online because we won't be able to show the video portion of it. We're working through to see if there's options where we can potentially do the audio of that. But just wanted to give you a heads up for those of you who watch online. If you're close to a campus, we want to encourage you to come out. And if you're just in a place where that's not possible, just know that it won't be the same experience, but we're going to do our best to still make it a great experience for you online next week. So again, just wanted to put that out there to those of you who watch online. But as we talk about fathers today, you know, one of the greatest gifts a man can receive is the opportunity to shape and influence the lives of his children. And so this morning, I want to talk about three God-given roles that we as men and fathers must embrace if we're going to do that well. But before we talk about those roles, I want to set up today with a story that will kind of help explain why I believe these roles are so needed today. So I want to take you back to my years in college. One Friday after school, during my first year of college, a couple of my buddies and I, we headed out to do some fishing on the nearby Tougaloo River.
And the Tougaloo River is actually what forms the border between Georgia and South Carolina. And the river actually started, the kind of the beginning of this river started near where I went to college in Toccoa, Georgia. And where we were, it would pass through a lake called the Yona Lake, and then it was dammed. It was Yona Dam, and it was actually a hydropower plant. And so the best place to fish for striper was to get as close as possible to the base of that hydropower plant, because whenever they would let water out at the bottom of that dam and through that hydropower plant, it would stir up the current and it would stir up food, and you'd get some big striper that would come up next to the dam and they would start to feed. And so our goal was always to get as close as possible to this hydropower plant. So we would actually wade across the river with all of our gear. It would get to about chest deep in some places. We'd wade across the river, and then we would go up behind the wall of this power plant. We'd climb up on the wall and get right next to the power plant and fish right next to the turbines where the water would be let out. Probably wasn't legal, and I'm not sure it was the safest thing to do. But hey, when you can catch some big fish, sometimes you're just thinking, I'm gonna do whatever I can do to catch big fish. So on this particular day, we started fishing early afternoon and fished until dark. Caught a couple of big fish. So dark comes, we pack up, climb down the wall, and we start heading downriver to where we can cross. And as we're about ready to do this, we hear the siren, the alarm go off at the power plant, which means that they're going to start letting all the water out at the base of that hydropower plant. So water starts letting out. You can tell the current really starts to pick up. And so we're like, yeah, let's not cross yet. Let's wait for a little bit. And we waited and waited. And then eventually we got tired. So we thought it would be a good idea to try and cross while the water is being let out. Again, we weren't the smartest at this time in our life. And so here we are. Not only is it dark, but we're about to cross a now rushing river. So we step in, start walking, water's up to our shins, then our knees, and even at knee deep, you can stand, but with every step, it's like getting harder to keep your balance, because I mean, the water is really moving. Then we got waist deep, and at this point, I'm starting to think this was a bad idea. And you can feel the power of this current. I mean, it's everything you can do to keep from, to just be able to stand. And so we do this, and then eventually it gets chest deep. But the whole time we're thinking, as long as we can feel the bottom and we have solid footing, we should be fine. So we kept walking, the water keeps inching up. And there came a point where we took a step and it just completely dropped off. And I remember my friend saying, "You're gonna have to swim." And we start getting washed down river, and I had a 5-gallon bucket with fishing poles in it. And so it gets caught, starts going underwater, and starts pulling me. I let go of the 5-gallon bucket. We lose all our poles, all our tackle, and we start getting washed down river. And thank God we were able to grab onto a tree branch and pull ourselves in on the other side. So we get to the other side. We're sitting there just thinking about, what did we just do? Like, why did we do that? And I remember someone saying, that was a really dumb idea. And I'm like, yeah, it was. But what was crazy is we lost all the poles, all the tackle, but somehow my friend managed to hang on to the stringer with the fish. Priorities, right? So we got the fish. We got dinner for tonight. Now, I share that story not because I want you to continue to hear all the bad decisions I've made in my life. I tend to share those. But because in the same way that powerful river began to wash us away as soon as we lost our footing, so I want you to think of the culture we are living in as being similar to a powerful river that will wash anything without solid footing downstream with it. James Dobson, who is the founder of Family Talk, has written over 50 books dedicated to strengthening the family, and he had this to say about culture. He said, in years gone by, and he likened culture to a river, the river of culture was a gentle stream that carried children along towards adulthood. He said, most of my friends and I made the journey with hardly a ripple. Then he said, today, parents are aware that the quiet waters have become like the raging Colorado River crashing through the Grand Canyon. Children and teenagers today, and you know this, are navigating a world that has decided that the Bible is antiquated, it's oppressive, and it needs to either be rewritten or thrown out. It's a world that says there is no ultimate truth. In fact, to say there is ultimate truth is offensive. There is no ultimate truth. There is only your truth. This is the nonsense that is being pushed in our culture today. And we must help our children find solid footing if they are not only going to avoid being swept away by the river of culture, but also find the strength to stand and challenge cultural lies. And if this is going to happen, I believe it will largely be because fathers rise to the occasion and embrace three God-given roles. And I want to talk to you about those roles today. In one of his timeless sermons from the 18th century, George Whitefield called upon fathers to fulfill three roles in the family. He said, every father of a family ought to look upon himself as obliged to act in three capacities: a prophet, to instruct; as a priest, to pray for and with; and as a king, to govern, direct, and provide. I love that. And along with George Whitefield, another present day pastor and author named Vodi Bakum picked up on this concept and actually wrote a book about it. He wrote a book titled What He Must Be If He Wants to Marry My Daughter. And I've been challenged by both of them. And so much of what I want to say today will build upon what I've learned from both of them. So we know that Christ fulfilled all three of those roles: prophet, priest, and king. As a prophet, speaking God's word to his people; as a priest, serving as a mediator between humans and God and giving himself as a sacrifice. And even today, he continues to intercede on our behalf; and as a king, one who rules and conquers all of God's enemies. So with that idea in mind, that Christ is our prophet, our priest, and our king, I want you to look at what Ephesians 5:23 through 25 says. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Then it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Paul says that in the same way Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. And just as Christ loved the church, husbands are called to love their wives. So I think we could say that this means fathers are called to serve their wives and consequently their families in the same ways that Christ does for the church, namely as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. So let's talk about those three roles. So role number one is the role of prophet, and I'm just going to call that a man of the word. A man of the word. Yes, a prophet also encourages and calls out the things he sees in his children, but a prophet is also a man of the word. Look at what the Apostle Paul said later in Ephesians. He said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So he said, don't provoke your children to anger. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's don't expect something of them that you're unwilling to do. We also do that by, you know, never admitting we're wrong, inconsistency in how we parent, unexplained discipline. So he says, don't provoke them to anger. But he says, do bring them up with the discipline and instruction of that comes from the Lord. So he says, bring them up with the discipline. This is, again, confronting the character gaps in our children and not allowing them to go unchecked. Proverbs teaches that not disciplining a child is an act of hatred and not love. The book of Hebrews teaches us that discipline is an act of love and that God disciplines us because it yields the fruit of righteousness in our lives. So understand, discipline is not something we do to children. It's something we do for our children. So he says, bring them up with the discipline and then instruction. Instruction comes primarily through teaching and modeling. We're teaching and modeling God's word and God's way. We should be able to say with the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. But if we're going to fulfill the role of prophet and train our children up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, that means we must be men of the word, because we can't train anyone in the word if we're not being taught by it. So let me give you a few traits that characterize men of the word. And Pastor Vody Bakum touched on these in his book. He said, men of the word spend personal time in the word. Men of the word spend personal time in the word. This is foundational. Have to spend time in the word. How are we going to instruct and train anyone else in God's ways if we haven't cracked the word? Are you spending personal time in God's word? So men of the word spend personal time in the word. Then you have men of the word seek to grasp the word. This is important because you can crack open the word, read it, and walk away with very little comprehension or understanding. You can walk away feeling entirely unequipped to articulate gospel truth. You know, a few years back, Bob, who is the head of our security team here at Northwoods, and I have his permission to share this, came and found me one Sunday morning, and he said, John, there's a man over here that I've been chatting with, and he's ready to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. Amazing. He said, would you come lead this man across the line of faith? And I said, well, I'm happy to do that, but what's wrong with you doing that? Like, you're the one that got him to this point. You're chatting with him. Why don't you experience the joy of leading him across the line of faith? And so we chatted, and long story short, he had me end up going do it, which I was happy to do. So this man receives Christ. It's awesome. It's great. But long story short, that was a couple years ago. But just a few months ago, Bob sent me an email. And again, I have his permission to share this. And he said this in his email. He said, I've never forgotten that moment, talking about the moment that I just shared with you from a couple years ago. And he said, from that day on, I've equipped myself to be ready for that moment if it ever came up again. I added every salvation and gospel verse I may need to my notes page on my phone. Then he said, well, that day did come on Monday of this past week. I led my mother to Christ while sitting in my car at the Goodyear Tire Place on North Knoxville. She's been involved. That's awesome, right? He said she's been involved in another church for 60 years and still couldn't tell me for sure if she was going to heaven or not when she passed. And I asked her if she wanted to be sure about it right there at that moment. And I led her through everything. And then we sat there and had a good cry. Come on, we're proud of Bob. Bob, we love you. That's the head of our security. Not only is he constantly keeping his eye on how do we keep our church secure and safe, we have an incredible security team, but I love that he's also thinking about, when I see someone, do they need Jesus Christ? And I want you to understand, Bob, that's a man who said, I'm not only gonna spend time in the word, but I'm going to seek to understand and I'm going to equip myself to articulate its truth. That's a man of the word. That's a man who says, I'm not only going to spend time in it, but I'm going to seek to grasp it. And there are so many resources that can help you get a grasp on God's word. You know, we offer different ministries here at Northwoods. Just last week, we finished a 10-week study on the book of Joshua. And we have another men's summer study we're going to be doing in July. It'll be on Thursday nights and it'll run for 5 weeks. If you just go on our website and you go to men's ministry under life groups there, you can find everything you need to know about that. Also, you know, an app that I haven't used it a ton. I've used it before, but I have other friends who use it. He Reads Truth is an app you can get on your phone. It's kind of a devotional. It'll give you a scripture, but it'll also help you understand what you're reading. So there's all kinds of resources out there. Make use of them to continue growing in your understanding of the word.
So men of the word spend personal time in the word. They seek to grasp the word. And then men of the word develop a plan to grow in the word. You know, Andy Stanley said, everyone ends up somewhere in life, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. That's a good word. You don't grow in God's word on accident. It happens because you had a plan. You know, I've found that I will not read God's word if I don't have a plan. Between work, church activities, my family, things that I need to do, get done around the house, this urgent things that continually pop up, the word can quickly become something I rarely get to. And because of that, I've found I just have to have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, I want to encourage you to spend time this week and lay out a plan that includes three things. How many days a week am I going to do this? How many days a week am I going to do this? Then how much time will I give it every day? And what will I do with that time? Get real specific. You might say, I'm going to start reading 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And I'm going to do 30 minutes. 15 is going to be spent reading. 15 will be spent studying what I just read. So whatever that looks like for you, develop a plan, make it sustainable. That's the key to continuing to do this. If you don't have any time you spend in the word, and you say, you know what, I'm going to start spending 2 hours a day. No, you won't. It won't last. You might do it for a couple days. It will not last. Make it sustainable. If the word's not a regular thing for you, then say, you know what, I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day and start there and then increase over time. So develop a plan, make it sustainable, and then commit it to the Lord. Fathers are called to fulfill the role of prophet. That means being a man of the word. Now, before we move on here, I want to just say this to all the young ladies in the room who maybe you have a dream of being married and having a family someday. If you want to be married to a man who will lead according to God's standards and be a spiritual leader in the home, one of the practical tests that any man you are considering as a potential spouse should be able to pass now is that they spend time in the Word. Now listen, I'm not saying that they have to be a scholar or a theologian. I'm not saying men can't change, but I'm just saying if that's not even something that's on their radar, I would question whether or not they should be on your radar. I'm not saying they need to be a scholar. Like I said, it's just the word should be a part of their life. That would be a great test just to say, just can he pass that test? It's a great place to start. So we start with role number one. That's the role of prophet. I'm going to be a man of the word. Role number two is this, priest, a man of prayer, where the prophet represents God before his family by being a man of the word. The priest represents his family before God by being a man of prayer. The Apostle Paul, writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, said this, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. So here is Paul. He says he prays for Timothy, his spiritual son, night and day. Not even his own flesh and blood. This is his spiritual son. I read that and I'm convicted. I could be praying more for my family. And let's never forget that a spiritual battle is happening for the heart of our children. And one of the ways we war as men and also as women is on our knees in prayer. And we do this with our family and for our family. With our family and for our family. So let's talk about with. Many times it's easy to say, I've found this to be true of my own life. When I hear something that someone's like, yeah, I'd love to be prayed for in this way, I'll say something along the lines, or I used to say something along the lines of, I'll be praying for you, and then hope to remember later. But I want to encourage you to be a father who doesn't just promise to pray for his wife and children, but a father who practices praying for his wife and children in the moment. One of the simplest ways we can begin to do this with our family is by asking them the question, how can I pray for you today? How can I pray for you today? And then just listen. And if they share something, pray right then and there with them. This is something I can do better at. And again, when I ask this question, it's not that I always get you know, incredible answers from my 4 and 6-year-old daughters. Last night I asked Joanna, how can I be praying for you? And her answer was, one of the things she said is that I would eat crackers. Okay. And then she said that God would help me write my name better. Okay, there we go. She's learning to write. Let's pray that God would continue to help you grow in that skill. And again, we just stop and we pray right there. So it's not always that I hear, you know, you hear amazing things, but it's just you're beginning to get yourself in a place where you're praying with them. So we pray with them, and then we also pray for them. So this is in our prayer time, we lift up our family. One of the most effective ways we pray for our families is by aligning our prayers with Scripture. Our prayers are never more effective than when they are rooted in Scripture. So as you're spending time in the Word, you might find scriptures that just jump off the page at you, that resonate with your heart, and then begin to make those the prayer scripts for your family. You know, one of the prayers I love to pray for my family, the prayer of Jabez, is found in 1 Chronicles 4:10. It says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel and said, oh, that you'd bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. And it says, and God granted his request. So you might take that prayer and just kind of break it down into 4 components. He said, bless me. So I'd start there and say, Lord, I pray your blessing over my family today. He asked that his territory would be enlarged. So I would say, I think of that as influence. I pray that you would expand my family's level of influence for the Lord in this community and in this city. And then he said, let your hand be with me. And so I would pray, Lord, I pray that you would go with and before my family today. I pray that you would guide them and that you would empower them. And then he said, keep me from harm. Some translations say, keep me from evil. And so I would end there and just say, Lord, I pray your divine protection over my family today. I bind any enemy assignment that would come against them, and I plead the blood of Jesus over them. That's using Scripture to formulate your prayers. Another way that I occasionally like to pray for my children, I learned from Richard Foster in his classic book, The Celebration of Discipline. Sometimes, I don't do this all the time, but sometimes I will go into their bedroom while they're sleeping. Again, I don't do this all the time because I like when kids sleep and don't wake up. You that have little kids, you know what I'm talking about. But sometimes when they're sleeping, I will go in, and I love how Foster wrote about this, and I will gently place my hands on them and ask the Lord to restore their soul. He talks about him being the one who restores, who refreshes our soul in Psalm 23, and heal every emotional trauma and hurt feeling they experienced that day, and then fill them with the peace and the joy of the Lord. This is what we do as priests. We bring our family before God in prayer. We pray with them and for them. So we fulfill the role of prophet by being a man of the word. We fulfill the role of priest by being a man of prayer. Then role number 3 is king. And I just think about this as the man who protects. Now there's more I could touch on here in the role of king. We could talk about guidance, leadership, but I want to talk specifically about protection. It's also a king's function to protect. Throughout the Old Testament, we find multiple examples of God giving men the primary responsibility to protect their families. Men were the ones who went to war. In Nehemiah, he challenged men to go fight for their families. We even read in Ephesians 5:25 that a husband should be willing to lay down his life for his wife and consequently his family. Now, generally, when I think of protection, I think when men think of protection, we tend to think about being able to physically protect. For example, you know, when I was younger, I asked my dad one day, I said, Dad, why don't you keep a gun in the house for protection? And he said, well, John, because I got these 2 guns right here. I should have seen that coming. If you know my dad, okay, here we go. All right, but this is how we as men tend to think. Protection means being able to physically protect my family. And yes, we should be willing to physically protect, but not only do we protect against physical intruders, but we protect against spiritual intruders and unholy influence in our family. Now, on Friday night,
or on Saturday morning, I woke up and I had had a dream on this Friday night. And in the dream, I literally relived an incident from a year ago. And I woke up feeling like the Lord was saying, and I guess I just kind of felt in my heart, I'm supposed to speak about this on Sunday. And so in the dream, and this actually happened, last year around this time, there was a night when I walked out the front door of my house. It was dark to pick up a few things in the front yard that had been left out. And I went out. When I went out, I just left the front door open, didn't close it. You know, I can hear, you know, my parents saying, "Were you born in a barn?" And I probably left it open for, you know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. It's kind of a long time at night. And I picked everything up. And there's, you know, there's a light right there by the front door. So there's probably all kinds of bugs getting in and junk like that. But I pick everything up. I come in, close the door, go upstairs and go to bed. The next morning, my wife walks into the kids' bathroom where she had been soaking some of their clothes that had gotten stained in one of the sinks. And to her surprise, she finds a bat swimming in the sink, literally just like this in the sink. I mean, it was nasty looking. I wake up to her saying, "John, come in here, please." I go in there and see it. I'm like, "You got the wrong house. My brother Nathan is a Batman fan, not me. What are you doing in my house?" Now, don't worry. It was properly handled. I don't have rabies. At least I don't think. It's been a year. I'm good. Okay, so the next day, I called in pest control to ensure we don't have bats in the attic or anything. Thank God we didn't. And so as far as they could tell, the bat most likely, sometimes, you know, by that light that attracts all kinds of bugs, had flown right in the door that I left open for several minutes during the night. And that's what happens when you leave doors open. Things get in. But I believe that the Lord reminded me of that for a specific purpose. And as I've prayed about it, I believe the Lord is saying, and it's a reminder to all of us that are fathers, that we are the doorkeepers for our families. And we must ensure that we do not leave the doors open to unholy influence and spiritual intruders in our families. That means dads, you along with your wife should be watching over what comes into your home by way of media and phones. You should know what will be in movies and shows you allow your children to watch. Don't just give them free rein on streaming platforms. Just last year, we were going to be driving to Florida. It's a long drive. So I loaded a couple of shows onto an iPad for the girls to watch in the car. And one of the shows I began loading onto the iPad the night before was a show called Ridley Jones. It's an animated preschool version of a girl who does things, you know, similar to Indiana Jones. I said, "Oh, they might like that." So I start downloading it. But just to be sure, I went to the Plugged In website. If you don't use this, it's a great resource to use to see what's going on in shows and movies, like what you can expect. So I go to PluggedIn.com to see what's in the show. I'm glad I did. The review said there are lessons on bravery, humility, kindness, and teamwork. Great. But then it said there are also some other lessons as well. Fred, a buffalo, is non-binary and is referred to as neither he nor she, but just a friend taking they, them pronouns. And Ismat, the queen, has two gay dads featured throughout the series. This is a show targeted at preschoolers. And you know this is happening. Disney has just released their new Buzz Lightyear movie. And of course, if you've looked at it, there's a same-sex relationship that's put on full display with two women kissing in the movie. It's not going to stop. We must protect our homes and our families from unholy influence. Satan is harnessing media to destroy God-given identity, to confuse gender, and create guilt and self-hatred in children and men. We cannot stand idly by. Keep the door shut. Be the protector. And listen, I don't have
kids that are teenagers yet and have phones. But I would just say that if you're, you know, you see the commercials that talk about your phone and having privacy. Listen, if you have teenagers who have phones, it's fine to give them privacy. Like, you shouldn't just go barging into their room while they're changing, but phones, those should be something where, hey, you know what? We're not going to have technological secrets in this house. And as the dad, as the father of this home, it's my job to protect. And so at any time, it's not wrong of you to say, I'm going to look at your phone and I should be able to see what's going on in your history, your apps. Now, for some of us, that might sound like, whoa, that's too far. I don't think that's too far. I read a study the other day that 70%, I think it was 65% of all teenagers have received a nude photo through a text message. 40% say they have sent them. We can't just stand idly by. Be the protector. Being the protector means that we also don't allow any open doors through the way we live. I love what, again, what Vodi Bakum said in his book. He said, protecting one's family is about a lot more than owning a gun or knowing martial arts. In fact, a man can do both and still fail to be a protector. Show me a man who is resolute in his character, and I'll show you a man who will protect his family come what may. You understand that as the spiritual head of the home, the enemy is going to target his attack at you, because if he can take you out, it becomes a whole lot easier to come after the rest of the family. So that means that we choose to live with moral strength and character, meaning we have eyes for our wives and our wives only. I'm not going to mess around with pornography. I'm not going to allow alcohol to have a hold on me. I'm not going to live with unforgiveness and bitterness towards others, and I'm going to pursue holiness and deeper levels of freedom in my life. I will not be the portal by which the enemy gets access to my family. We keep the door shut. As fathers, we're called to be the prophet. We're called to be the priest, but we're also called to be the protector. And so as we close this morning, I want to pray for you. And so I want to ask everyone to stand. And men, I just want to encourage you this morning. I don't want this to feel as if, you know, sometimes you can feel that just, you know, we're just beating on men, like just do better. But I was thinking about this, you know, in the Old Testament, there were mainly three types of people who were anointed: prophets, priests, and kings. And when they were anointed, oil was poured over their head, symbolizing that God had not only set them apart for their role, but that he would empower them to fulfill it. And we live, fathers, on the other side of Christ. And so we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And I just want to say to you, fathers, that no matter what kind of dad you have, you had, no matter what kind of example you had, no matter if you feel like I'm not good enough, I continually fall short, I want you to know you are good enough, not because of your own strength, because of the Spirit of God living in you. He's anointed you, he's set you apart, and he's empowering you to fulfill your role. You can do it because the Spirit of God lives in you. And just as he empowered people in the Old Testament, he is empowering you today. And so if your family's around you, you know, just lay your hands on, if your father's with you today, lay your hand on him, and let's just pray for the fathers in the room. Lord, I thank you for the men represented in this room. And I thank you that they are enough because your Spirit lives in us. And you are empowering them to be the prophet and the priest and the king for their family. Lord, I pray for fresh strength, that you would renew their strength. Fathers, there's some of you here. I was praying for this last night. I just felt this deep on my heart. There's some of you here who feel like, you know what?
I feel like I've done that. And yet it feels like my children are just, they've chosen a different path. They're being washed away with the current of culture. And I want you to know, Father, I just felt so on my heart that the Lord says he sees you, and don't stop being the priest. Don't stop being the man who prays. He's heard your prayers. He sees you. Do not give up. You keep praying for that child. And Lord, I pray that for all those prodigals here today that just heavy on the hearts of fathers, we bind the work of the enemy in their lives today and we loose the prodigals, Lord. We pray that you would turn the hearts of children back to their fathers and that you would release the light of the kingdom over their hearts and over their minds this morning. And I pray for those dads that are in that place of just feeling beaten down and worn out. Would you just infuse them this morning, Lord, with fresh strength? Lord, I pray your blessing over fathers. We lift them up to you this morning. And I pray that the men of this church would rise up and rise to the occasion for such a time as this. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you've done today. Guys, hey, have a great Father's Day. Hope you enjoy this afternoon together, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next week. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, we'll have a prayer team down front, and we'd love to pray for you this morning. Northwoods Online, I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and want to remind you next week, if you can be at one of our campuses, we'd love to have you. We're going to have a guy here who, because we have to protect his identity, we won't be able to video stream the message portion of the service, but we're going to do our best to still make it so you can potentially hear it next week. So if you can make it, I want to encourage you to be here. If not, we'll do our best to make some portion of it available to you online. Have a great week.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. And dads, I hope that you got something special out of today's message. Like I said in the intro, next week we are kicking off a new series called Seven, and we're going to be talking about the seven redemptive names of God. Now, we talk about being an inviting culture here at Northwoods, and I just want to talk a little bit more about that with you. It is so important for us to be inviting others to church because you never know when that one invitation is going to change somebody's life for eternity. So I encourage you to be praying about and thinking about who is that one person that you're going to invite to join you for next Sunday's message. So I hope that we'll see you and your friends here back at Northwoods next Sunday. Have a great week.